Feeling pretty emotional today.
Yeah.
I think I was already feeling stressed in this last while, and I think I haven't read Matt's email yet, but I feel triggered by him around the idea of the kids going to Brisbane, so I'm not sure what the details of that are.
Okay. But, so yeah. You haven't read which email?
The second, the one that I sent through to you.
Oh, okay, because I didn't realise that.
Yeah. Yeah, I've just been really busy, and this morning I just haven't read it because I was feeling overwhelmed already.
Mm-hmm.
I could read it. Maybe I should read it and come back on to you.
Well, I'm just having a look to see if I could find which one it is. Is it the one that goes, so from the 10th, Thursday, so from yesterday,
mm-hmm.
It says, "Hey, Susie, I want to clarify a few things."
That's right.
Do you want me to read it to you?
Sure.
Okay. "I don't buy into the Mullum-Steiner vision thing at all costs. Your position as receiver and me as payer is by agreement, not necessity. It can be changed as easily as we created it. Economically, it's a vague proposition with lots of holes, and you've done a poor job of clarifying and providing a full picture of what you want to deliver on it. To date, it's been a scrambled mix of ideas and requests, including dim communication, which are not translating into any outcomes. This is a predictable path, I am told, with next moves, including an increase in pressure, eventually leading to withholding of access."
What
does that mean?
Wow. That sounds to me like that's this is what you do, and then next thing I'll be withholding access from the children.
Oh, so he's saying somebody's advised him of that. Someone said, "Oh, she's behaving in a predictable way." Right.
He's paranoid. He's really, anyhow, but okay.
Okay, but you have to accept that so he's having fears about this.
Yeah.
"Unfortunately, what I see is the kids are currently being subjected to a mood of lack, call it financial hardship if you like, which is not fair considering there are plenty of other good options." So I think what he's referring to then is that he thinks the element of financial hardship that they're experiencing basically is all about the school.
Right,
and that he doesn't think that it's necessary for them to. So it says your proposal, I as payer cover private school fees and CSA payments, is not a position supported by the rules of CSA. School fees and child care support are not separate matters, according to them. I'm not sure of your basis here and what your point is. There's no obligation for me to pay you any money beyond this determination. Perhaps you think I have an emotional obligation, which is why you use words like, it is your contribution while you live apart from them. Well, we are well beyond this. We're divorced, building entirely separate lives. Let's flip it then if you want. They can come live with me. Then you would be living apart from them. So, this part about...
I just feel so angry at the whole story he's creating. He's creating a story.
Okay, well, let's just break it down. So you're feeling angry, but putting that aside, let's first see what the facts are here, okay?
Sure.
It is true that he doesn't have a legal obligation to pay school fees. He has a legal obligation to pay child support.
Yes, I agree with that.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I suppose the point for me is he still does not contribute anything through child support. Like, I have had no payments to date, you know, like...
Right. So why is that? Why hasn't child support given you payments?
Well, he hasn't paid them yet. I mean, the official first one was meant to be on Monday, because he hasn't given the money, so that'll be in the process.
Mm-hmm.
It's only $70, And the back pay that I requested, he disputed and it was accepted, the dispute. So I just found that out like 5 days ago. And so I can appeal that again, which I probably will.
So it was accepted on the basis that he was saying he'd paid for the school fees as a means of child support?
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. Well, this is the thing. It's because school fees are individual choice.
Yeah.
Right? So...
I mean, I feel like I really accept that. Mm-hmm. Like, I accept that. And, you know, in a simple way, I've asked him, I put a proposal forward to him, which wasn't vague or messy, I don't think, at all, for him to contribute, like, with the possibility of these, the kids getting the scholarships and him contributing a certain amount, me contributing a certain amount. That was the proposal, very clear.
Right.
There's no drama or story to it. He can say yes or no. And then from that point, I make a choice, well, can I do this, yes or no? I mean, he's making all this extra emotional drama around it, which isn't there for me. Like, if he's really going to say, no, I'm not doing that, then I'm not going to fight him on that. Like, it's like, okay. No,
okay, that's just something you can communicate with him. So he's obviously worried about your, you know, he's said this is a predictable path, I am told. So he's getting advice. He's afraid of what you're trying to do and the pressure that you're going to put on him. So it needs to be clarified because what I understand from the various things you've already requested from him is that you want the child support payments in place, and those are going to go towards things like food and basic living costs.
Yeah.
You're also asking him if he would, in addition to that, contribute towards private school and other, you know, extra expenses with extracurricular activities and those kinds of things that have come up, sports and things have come up in some of the emails, right?
That's right, yeah.
And for him, that's all a confusion. Like, well, what are you asking me for? What aren't you asking me for?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, and really the only thing that you have kind of automatically due to you is child support, right? So all those extra things are things that the two of you have to agree to, right? And this is where it's difficult because of your circumstances, then it becomes, you know, that the children have limited options in what you can afford. And the question is, does he feel that he wants to make sure that they have more options than they do? And so what he's saying here is that he thinks that the children's experience of financial hardship is stemming from the burden of private school fees.
Mm-hmm.
So he disagrees with that.
Mm-hmm.
And so he goes on to say here, so why do you continue down this line insisting I'm obliged to pay private school fees and make other contributions over and above CSA? It's entirely at my discretion. I think it is more because you're so invested in the outcome, you're not seeing all the alternatives.
But see, I've never said that he's obliged, what was the word he used? That he's
obliged, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't say that to him. I totally give him a choice and put an option there for him. So that's...
Well, that's what you need to communicate, is that you understand that that's an option for him. It's not an obligation.
Not an obligation, yeah. That's right. I don't see it like that.
Right, so he needs to know that. Because he's...
It just feels like there needs to be a lot of clarifying going on. And I hear that he feels afraid. Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, this is all within his world because this is not how I feel or I'm not, I mean, I don't have any agenda at all to withhold the children from him. So if that's the final fear that he has, I mean, that's not something that's on my radar at all.
Right. So
that's quite the opposite. It's like I would love him to be more involved with the kids and participating more in their life.
Right. So it's simply a matter of communicating that.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so notice, you know, just notice what you're feeling and the reaction that you're having.
Mm. Well, I feel pretty alert and kind of quite fierce, actually. Like, I feel, to the hearing what you've read, mm-hmm. and it's like the distortion that exists in it really bothers me. And I feel like I want to clean it out. And that's my response.
So,
is that what I'm feeling?
Well, yeah, but when you say that you hear the distortion, you want to clean it out, it's not as if that's you're experiencing that in a calm and peaceful way. It's upsetting you.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's really upsetting. Like, I feel like there's such a mismatch in our communication,
mm-hmm.
and that we're, you know, I suppose I've been sort of patiently trying to build, just, you know, get over mistakes and keep persisting in this learning of how to co-parent
uh-huh.
with him.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, I feel that he, what bothers me as well is that he continues to undermine me. Put me down, like the words he uses, the way he responds to me with an edge. It really impacts me. It hurts. It impacts me emotionally, and it creates so much extra drama around simple trying to organize something. He's like, first of all, he's coming in telling me always how I've done it wrong, and then, you know, we've got to clean up this mess that you're creating, Susie. You know, this is his sort of attitude.
Right.
I feel, and it really fucks me off. Like, I feel so over it.
Right.
I just feel so fiercely over it.
Yeah. So if this is where it's really about, we need to separate out the emotion mm-hmm. from the situation. So you're entitled to have your feelings.
Yeah.
Okay. But you need to know that those are separate category.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you need to feel those feelings, you need to explore those feelings.
Mm.
But that's very separate than dealing with how to work through these things with him.
Mm.
Okay?
Yeah. Yeah, and I feel that I am doing that. You know, I feel that's what I am doing, and it's hard for me because I don't feel like he's doing that. And it annoys me because I feel like that's how it appears to me, and I'm not writing him emotional emails and blaming him, and, you know, and I just feel at a really point of really intolerance about it, and I suppose I do feel like I want to lash out at him right now and just say, you know, say a lot of things.
Yeah, but, yeah, and so this is where. It's like your patience is being tried right now, and you're running out of patience, and some feelings are coming up for you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good time to focus on the feelings for a while, so then you can come to a place where you feel more settled and ready to deal with this just on a practical level.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I suppose, you know, I also feel for him that he's feeling like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, like, so I, you know, I do want to care for him in that and help him to see, well, to be clear, I do feel like I want to, I want him to be, it's not a nice feeling to think he's up there in Brisbane with all these stories going through his mind and fears.
Right.
And I'm down here working really hard to create an abundant, stable life for the kids, which, you know, isn't, you know, like a, I mean, yeah, we've got no money and it's thin, but it's still full of life and beauty and, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
I'm really stabilizing a great routine, and
mm-hmm.
there's so much amazing nourishment going on with the kids, and their life is actually, you know, I just feel like it's really settling and that they're mm-hmm. feeling happy and they know their place and, you know, it's yeah. really beautiful to see.
Yeah.
And they're happy with the rhythm and they know mm-hmm. when they see their dad and, you know, there's a real flow going on. And so to hear him kind of pick at it and not mm-hmm. know all of that mm-hmm. is really quite hard.
Right.
And unfortunate, I think.
Yeah, okay. So I'm going to help you to write to him about all this.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm. That'd be great.
Yeah.
I feel like I just want to get it all out. Like I want to talk about the kids and how they're going and
yeah.
how they feel and how well they are and their yeah. visions and how I want him to be included in that and
yeah.
And yeah, what I see and what how they're learning their responsibilities and, you know, there's so much that how they're growing and in this sort of new stable base they have. Mm. So, yeah, that'd be good.
Okay. So let's get through the rest of his email and then we'll decide what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So he was just saying it's his discretion about these other contributions, and he's right about that.
Mm-hmm.
So then he says, I think it is more because you're so invested in the outcome, you're not seeing all the alternatives. And then he says, there's a predictable pathway where this is heading, Susie. So I think that, I'm not entirely sure, but I think that again is a reference to that he's afraid that you're going to go into like a conflict situation with, you know, between the two of you where you're going to have a fight over this.
Yeah.
So he says, so let's get to the point. There are good schools and plenty of opportunities for them in Brisbane. We're coming up 2 years post-separation and they are transitioning well. I could make it work really well, I reckon. Alternatively, to make the current arrangement work, there needs to be a lot more transparency, a fuller agreement. If and when I earn more money, I will have less time but more income. You will get more from me via CSA, but this will also decrease your FTBA and rental assistance amount. I also won't have the flexibility to drive up and down, less nights care, as I've said before, and less holidays. I won't be very much in their lives if they stay in Mullum, and I want them to be with me. So he's really bringing in this whole new issue to the table.
Mm.
And so it's a combination of things. He's talking about how if he works more and earns more, he also has less time for the boys, and that particularly is a big deal in terms of the long distance relationship that he's having with them now.
Mm.
So that's also bringing up an issue for him of not wanting to be so far away from them.
Yeah. Well, my first response is I don't buy it. And I feel like I would love more transparency. Like, I don't know what's happening with his work.
Mm-hmm.
But I just feel like no. I feel that this thing about I'll have less time with the boys, and I just think, well, bring it on. Like, you get your work happening and get me a child support payment for a start, and let's start there. At the moment, I get nothing. It starts and then I get $40 a month. Like, how about you just get on with your work? You've had 18 months on your own without kids. Why aren't you working? I feel unwilling to move. I feel unwilling to buy the story he's putting out there.
So what is it that you're not believing about what he's saying? Are you saying that he has the capacity to earn more?
For a start, I don't like that he just says, well, when I work more, mm-hmm. I won't be able to have the kids as much.
Mm-hmm.
That totally pisses me off. It's like, well, what do you think I'm doing trying to set myself up in work? Soon I'll be working full-time in some way as well as the kids. So that just annoys the hell out of me that he just says, well, when I'm working full-time, I'll no longer be able to have the kids so much. And I think, well, that's your choice. Or at the same time, well, then you get a nanny for the times, or you get your parents to help, you'll get someone else to help in your time with the kids, if you're going to choose to work instead of have the kids, or choose to have a different job where you don't have to work so much, so you can accommodate your kids. Like, I just feel so annoyed about that. Like, I don't feel like I have to move for him because he's going to have a full-time job. Like, I'm no longer his wife. Exactly. I'm not your wife to support you to do what job you want to do. You work around your kids.
Okay. So you're actually having, in this discussion we're having now, it's actually a very similar conflict that a married couple has, where you're both mm-hmm. feeling kind of time poor, money poor, and yeah. you're against each other in how to resolve that, rather than looking at, okay, what are our resources, where are the limitations, and what do we do to make it work best?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think the backlog for me on that is that I have followed Matt around the country for the jobs he's done, mm-hmm. for his, you know, when his creativity shifts and then we move somewhere else, and then mm-hmm. and I just feel done. I feel like, no, I'm staying here. I've spent a year creating a beautiful stable base for the kids, mm-hmm. and I'm working on creating that further, and I'm not moving just because on a whim you decided you were going to Brisbane to live your own life. I'm not up and leaving.
Okay.
I just feel really like, no.
Right.
It's like this, I feel like he has constantly disrupted the stability and consistency of our home life for 12 years. And this is, I feel like, another exactly the same pattern again, and now we have to move to Brisbane to follow you because you've decided of your own will to be in Brisbane, and apparently you're not even working there. You know, I just feel no. Like, I just feel fiercely primal, mama, bear, no.
Okay, so what he's asking for in terms of, you know, playing out this scenario that you have there in Mullumbimby is he's asking yeah. for it to become workable.
Yeah.
He's not putting his foot down one way or the other in this email. He's mm-hmm. he's expressing concerns that if he works more, he's going to see the boys less, that mm-hmm. he would really like them to be closer to him or spend more time with them. But you're saying, no, they're going to stay here and they have a good base here. So mm-hmm. it's then on you to be able to communicate that. So first of all, there's his fears, and those need to be addressed.
Yeah.
You say, you know, you need to say something along the lines of, I'm really sorry to hear that you're feeling anxiety around the possibility that I might withhold access or anything like that. I'm not trying to go down a path of conflict.
Yeah.
You know, we really need to cooperate and, you know, resolve these problems together.
Mm-hmm.
And I want the boys to be able to continue to enjoy as much time as they can with you. So, so I hope that you can, you know, stop worrying about that.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you need to put forward a proposal of the, you know, the way you want it to be, which is, first you can talk about what you think you have been able to achieve.
Yeah.
You can acknowledge, yes, it's true that there has been, you know, some financial hardship that we're experiencing. However, these are the good things that I've been able to achieve. And moving forward, these are the plans that I have. And you could talk about, you know, your plans for work. You can talk about whatever you think the finances need to look like. And, you know, maybe this thing about private school is the big sticking point, because you're kind of pushing him, you know, in a few directions at once.
Mm-hmm.
I think you should be really honest about your financial situation, that, mm-hmm. you know, that really just the very basic things of buying food and those sorts of things have been very difficult. And that's what you want the child support for.
Yeah.
You can acknowledge that it is true that you have been quite attached to their school for, numerous reasons that don't really fit into the financial picture. But these are the reasons that you have held on to it.
Yeah, sure.
But, you know, the bottom line is that you know he's not obligated.
Yeah.
You're not going to do anything crazy like try to bribe him to get those school fees by withholding access.
No, absolutely not.
You're not going to speak badly about him to the boys, no matter what his decision is, that you really want to be cooperative co-parents.
Yeah. Mm.
And you just want to give him a picture of the life that you've been working really, really hard to provide for the boys in Malabimbe.
Yeah.
And ask him what he is willing to do. That the money from child support is definitely going to go towards basic living expenses because those are something you're struggling with. But meanwhile, their lifestyle is such that they have all these other extra expenses and that the two of you need to, you know, come to an understanding of, you know, what can be in the boy's life and what can't.
And, you know, I suppose what about the thing he says about being transparent, like, so around work, around, I mean, how far does that go? Like, and I suppose I'm just thinking of work and money, really, because, you know, like, so I see some clients cashing out. I mean, this is really, like, that's so random. It's not like that's bubbling away. But so, and I, as far as, you know, just Jacob said to me the other day, totally of his own accord, he's my oldest boy, just, you know, that, oh, Mum, you should work for a non-profit organisation because that's what, that's who Dad works for and, you know, you don't have to pay taxes and da-da-da and, and I've said, oh, yeah, right, okay. And I, so, you know, that set my mind to thinking, okay, so Matt's working under a foundation. He's set up his own foundation, non-profit. And so he doesn't, he's not in the tax system. And so he's making money and therefore he doesn't have to pay child support because they don't know he's making money. So that's where my mind went. I don't know for sure, but it sounds, as far as I know, he is working. I hear him go to Sydney and Melbourne and he's teaching and, you know, so I just go, well, okay, so we're going to be transparent about that, are we? Like,
Okay.
And
well,
again, I don't have the facts, but you know, I just, I know that's how he is.
Well, you know, there's two ways to address that. One is through child support and say, look, you know, he works in this manner, and I think that I'm not getting what I'm due because I don't think he's paying taxes on a lot of the money that he earns, and they'll look into that. And see what's fair. And that's probably the best way to deal with it because he's not very likely to say, oh, yeah, you're right, there is money here that you really are owed. You know what I mean? He's just not likely because he hasn't been that kind of person that's been really trying to help you financially. Right, so it's probably better if you just stick with child support. Unfortunately, you are in that position where, you know, you're not dealing with a father who's like super eager to, you know, to provide as much money as possible, and then so then you're really limited to what you're, he's kind of legally obligated to provide for you. And that is what he's saying. He's talking a lot in this email about what he's obligated to do. And he's right. He's not obligated to do anything beyond what CSA ask.
Yeah, well, do you know, I feel so okay about that. Like, I just feel like, just give me what you're obligated to then. That's all I want, really. And that's fine. I just think if I got getting that, I would feel relieved just to know that I was getting that, it was coming through cleanly.
Yeah.
Then I can get on with building my own life and what I need to, you know, how much I need to make. And that's where I'm headed anyhow. I'm not scampering around him wanting, I'm just not doing that. And I just want the basic thing covered. If he chooses then not to support the private schooling, that's his choice, and then I'll, you know, then, okay, that's the new reality, and then we'll work out what's happening from
there. Okay, all right. So the first thing, I think you need to get back onto child support. and say, you know, that you really do have a lot of financial hardship happening in your world, and you still haven't been, one, you still haven't been paid, two, you do feel that he works a lot under a nonprofit, you know, umbrella, and you'd just like them to make sure that you're getting as much as you possibly can, because it really comes down to having difficulties paying for the most basic living expenses.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you do that. Then you reassure Matt that you do understand that he's not obliged to pay beyond the what child support is going to ask him.
Yeah.
That you simply want to present as much information as you can about the world, you know, that your children are living in, and to decide together cooperatively what has to be removed from, you know, their schedule in terms of what's going to be budgeted for, and that you're not going to try to bribe and coerce, you're not going to try to undermine him, you're not going to speak badly about him. You're fully prepared to cooperate. It's what you really desire, because it's what's best for the children.
Yeah.
You are intending to stay where you are. You think that you've done a really good job with providing this base for them that they're doing well in, and you intend to continue to do that.
Yeah.
But what it comes down to is that they do have extra, beyond school fees, they also have other extracurricular activities that you can't afford. And, you know, he's really going to have to make decisions about whether he's going to contribute to any of those, and whether he thinks it's important for the boys to have any of those things. Right? But you do need to be reassuring and conciliatory in these discussions, no matter how frustrated you are about it, because if he's feeling threatened, you know, he's going to behave like someone who's feeling threatened. And then there's no need for that. You're not even trying to threaten him.
No, right? This is the unfortunate thing, but so we need to reassure him.
So in terms of the emotions it brings up, those are something you need to put in a separate basket and be like, okay, I have some feelings coming up here. I need to feel those. I need to work through those. It's an opportunity for me to move through those feelings.
Yeah.
But what you shouldn't do is just kind of have all those feelings moving through you and then kind of become polarized.
Yeah, I definitely felt that feeling come up for me, that polarized feeling, like just the end of my tether. Was just like, no, I'm done, I can't.
But that's what he's afraid of too, because he's saying here that you would withhold access. So those are really deep fears, you know?
And that's not where I got to, like that's not how I feel. I just feel like I don't want to deal with you, like I don't, I just want...
And what you have to understand is that even though you're having those feelings, you do need to keep dealing with him, and you do need to keep trying to. It's like you have the ship, and it's a ship that's, you know, it's not really well designed for, you know, being out on the ocean, out on the open sea, but you still got to keep righting the course and getting to where you need to get to.
Inspire him to, you know, like, I feel like I've patiently been, you know, gracious to him, and, you know, in my letters and through my, you know, help with you, and he just continues to, I feel, treat me so badly in how he expresses himself. That's what I feel intolerant of. I feel really like, come on, we'll just stop doing this. It gets in the way of our progress here.
But you see, you can't control how quickly he can come to that. What you can do is you can keep writing the course. You can keep staying on track. And these things that he's expressing, like you might start with holding that. That's a deep fear. So you may feel like, how could he feel that way? But he is feeling that way.
Sure.
So then you need to reassure him. And that's the thing of writing the course. You reassure him. He may never trust you. You can't control that. Right? So you may be dealing with this forever. But maybe not. Maybe it will get better.
Yeah.
Right?
That would be, yes. I mean, I feel like it can. I suppose I feel the potential of it with him. You know, I think we can do this. You know, I do have confidence in it now, in a capacity there. Now that we're not in a relation, the other relationship anymore, I actually feel more confident. But, but maybe there's just more time.
It's more work. It is more work. It's not there right now. But it's not completely, like... It could be a lot worse. This could have been a lawyer's letter, okay?
Sure.
And it could have been very threatening. But it's not. It's him. And he's not even putting his foot down and insisting on one thing or another. He's actually just telling you all the thoughts that are going through his mind. So that's really not bad.
Okay. Right, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think a really strong point for me is this thing around him wanting us to move, or, you know, putting that out as an idea, and I just feel such strong, like just such a no.
Right.
Like just this, you know, really, yeah, there's just been such a pattern of chaos.
Right.
Now. In our family life as a result of Matt and his habits and his ideas and his visions, and it's just been chaotic.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm just, even in the last month, I just feel like, wow, that home feels so different. It's like, wow, that chaos is gone, you know.
Right.
And so, it's just getting a taste of it. And then it's interesting that it's like, in it comes and it's just like, whoa, no.
Well, but this is what you need to do, is you need to now address his concerns.
Yeah.
You need to give him a picture of what's going on. You need him to understand that you do recognize that he doesn't have an obligation around the school fees.
Yeah.
You need to give him your vision of that, you know, you've worked very hard under difficult circumstances to create what you think is a stable environment that you would like to continue to pursue. And you can only hope that he'll cooperate with that. Now, he may not. He may become, it may become a more and more pressing idea for him that he wants the boys closer. And then you're going to have to keep working with him on that. Because he is their father and he has his own mind and his own thoughts, right?
Sure.
But at this point, he's being open. In the fact, he says... Alternatively, to make the current arrangement work, there needs to be a lot more. So he talks about transparency there, but he's also talking about making the current arrangement work.
Yes.
And those are the words you need to look at.
Yeah, good.
Okay? Which is like, he still is open to that. He's not shutting that door.
Yeah.
And so if that's what you want, is to make the current arrangement to work, you need to really step up. And say, yeah, well, I do want the current arrangement to work. And I want to be cooperative with you about that. And what I can promise you is that I'm not going to, like, try to, you know, coerce you. I'm not going to consider withholding access of the children. I'm not going to try to fight you. I understand that you're not obligated to certain things. I simply want to be cooperative with you around making this arrangement work.
And also that I want you to be in the boys' life. I really want you to be in the boys' life, and I want to support that happening. And And I suppose I don't know if this is something to say, but something to say now is, you know, but I also won't be what I feel like is coerced on the other side by you saying, when I work more, I won't be able to have the kids as much. you know, you might get the money. Like, that sort of thing just doesn't make sense to me, actually. I just don't, I don't get that.
No, you know, I don't even think you need to address that. It's no, up to either. It's up to him how much he works.
Totally.
And then if he has information for you, such as, I don't have time to get the boys, then you have to deal with that. But I don't, that it's, that seems to be an abstraction at this point. It's it's not something you need to even discuss.
No.
Right?
Because unless it's him making his own choice about having the boys less, which I think, well, why would you do that? You're saying you want to be with them, but why would you then say, I'm going to work instead?
I don't think at this point, if he brings it up again with something more concrete, such as, I'm going to have to change the schedule because my work is preventing me from having enough time to come down or something, then you have to deal with that. But right now he's not saying anything concrete about that.
No.
So I would ignore that.
Yeah, and it's also the thing of him saying, you know, if you, you know, you might get more money then when I work more.
Right.
But I won't have, but you'll have to have kids more. And it's like, well, I think, well, I don't need more money. I just need the money.
Right.
You know, I don't want more.
But
I don't care if you're working $1 million job. I want just the bases covered.
Yeah. So, but this is, these are things you don't need to discuss with him because you've got CSA. Okay. So you discuss that with them.
Uh huh.
With him, what you discuss is that you are 100% supportive of his relationship with the boys. You would never withhold access in, you know, for any reason.
Mm. Yeah.
It's against, you know, what you believe in. And he really can hopefully stop worrying about that.
Yeah.
And you're not, you've never meant to be threatening in any way.
Mm.
Okay?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's good.
Yeah.
That feels better.
Right.
Yeah, I suppose it's a, I mean, I'm just feeling him, like, the choice he made to leave here and go to Brisbane. Oh, I don't know, I'm just thinking about him, how he's feeling threatened and hearing his vulnerability and what he's expressing. Yeah, I don't know, maybe it's got its own work to do on him, what he's going through.
It's not an easy situation for him to be in, is to be so far away from them.
No, not at all. And yet, you know, and yet he chose to do it. He made the decision and he's still making the decision. He could also change that as well.
Well, maybe he can, maybe he doesn't feel he can financially.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I suppose he doesn't put that as an option, you know, that he could come closer to us and to where the kids are stable and, you know, having their life in their community. And, like, he doesn't mention that as an option, even though, like, I suppose my questions are, and there's no transparency, so I don't know, but I know that he works in Sydney. I know that he works in Melbourne.
Mm.
He's commuting to work. He's not at a desk job in Brisbane, you know. He works from home on his computer and phone calls. And,
okay.
You know, so it's not like he's bound to Brisbane, I don't think,
Right.
for his work. So that's, you know. But,
well,
you know, again, I don't know.
It's that is his decision. I mean, it's something you could consider bringing up, but you'd have to be careful that if you brought it up, he was able to hear it as a helpful suggestion rather than as something where you're being oppositional or antagonistic towards him. So I'd probably leave that and see if he can receive this email in the right way, you know, if he's actually able to receive it as something positive. Because, you know, people get frozen in conflict, right? They get frozen in defensiveness and expecting to be attacked. And so then they become frozen in offensiveness and being in conflict. So write this email with the things that I've suggested and see how he responds to it. Okay, that's the really key thing, is how does he take it? And, you know, it's, if you're in a fearful state where you're really distrusting the other person, even, you know, in a nice constructive email like this could, you know, still perpetuate some feelings of paranoia. Oh, she must be trying to manipulate me in some way. You know, so you have to see how he takes it. And that will inform us of what you can do next.
Okay. So this email is really just kind of soothing. It's not really fiercely practical. It's more just reassuring.
No, I think it is practical. It's practical in the sense that what you're going to do is you're going to focus on the keywords to make the current arrangement work. Because that's what you want. You want the current arrangement to work, and he's opening a door there for that. So you first do the reassuring part, but then you focus on, yes, I do want to make the current arrangement work, and here is my transparency. This is what I've done for the children. This is where we struggle. These are what I'd like to have happen. I do understand that you're not obligated to anything beyond the child support. The child support does need to go to basic living expenses. We do have to consider, you know, those things that aren't necessities but are important to the boys. And what to do about that financially. But it's in no way is am I saying you're obligated, I'm going to force you, or I'm going to, you know, do anything to harm your relationship with the children because we have these financial problems. And then see where he goes with that. You just have no way of knowing where he goes with that. And you're going to have to deal with whatever it is.
Well, I feel like I feel more stabilized in myself talking to you. Like out of my kind of triggered state. And I can see it more clearly too. And I feel okay, you know, I feel like radio, so just persist in the same way that I have been. And I also feel quite, you know, like I share his desire to really get this stuff sorted out. You know, like I do want to continue this conversation closely. I don't want to just let time go by. I'm happy to be in it. And I would like to make some clear arrangements and and so that we can both be a bit more, like we're not just dealing with this basic stuff, you know.
So I think you know, you need to thank him for the email. Thank him for sharing his thoughts. Say that you appreciate it. And say that there, you think that you are on the same page about some things.
So I also wanted to share with you that he came over for dinner the other night. And it went really well. Yeah. And so we all had a family dinner together.
That's great.
And it happened spontaneously. Like he was coming back from Sydney and left Bellingen in the morning and texted to see should he call in for afternoon tea. And I kind of felt a bit affronted. A bit like, what? No way, we're having Sunday. I don't want you here. And then I went, okay, maybe I can just sit with that. And then thought, yeah, okay, let's do that. So it ended up being dinner time. And so he came and, you know, I texted him and said, you're welcome to stay for dinner because it's going to be dinner time. So I said, okay. And we spent probably an hour and a half together as a family.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great. It was really good.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It was really, I felt very at ease.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids just were so excited.
Uh-huh.
And I think, you know, he sort of said close to the end, like, oh, you know, I need to get going now. And I could possibly feel a bit of tension there for him somehow. But, you know, I don't know. So it was a really successful night, I think, for everyone. And I thanked him for that the next day. Mm-hmm. He said, thank you. That was really great. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it by everyone. And, and interestingly, I don't know if, I wonder, did it trigger something in him that's now set this next course in motion, you know?
Well, it certainly could have. He could have been feeling how much he misses that.
Mm-hmm.
And so if he does keep pursuing that, you are just going to have to deal with it. And that might be the time where you could say, well, you know, can you look at your work life and perceive a way where you can move back closer to us? But, you know, I think we have to take it one step at a time.
Yes. Yeah, no, cool. I'll write this email and...
Okay.
I'll send it through to you and to a look at.
Okay.
Okay, well, that's it.
Okay, well, you send that through and then obviously let me know how he responds because that'll be a really important part of this.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I hope that he receives it well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you don't need to worry, because if he doesn't receive it well, we just work with that, right? So
yeah,
hopefully he can, but you have to be open to the process.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I hear you. I do feel open to that.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.